about Chief Tootie is true. He's not going to budge from this house until his suit is ready. So since Muhammad won't come to the mountain, I brought the mountain to him.
Big Chief got the soul, go to the mountain, bring the mountain to him.
Big Chief got the soul,
go to the mountain, bring the mountain to him.
Big Chief can't go.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've been talking about the Mardi Gras Indians and their big chiefs and their one-of-a-kind costumes. Well, one of those longtime chiefs, Tootie Montana, was a character in Dan Baum's best-selling portrait of New Orleans. It's called Nine Lives: Mystery, Magic, Death, and Life in New Orleans, and it looked at the Crescent City in the years between two disastrous hurricanes, Betsy in 1965 and Katrina in 2005. Now those nine stories are being woven into a musical, also called Nine Lives. Joining me to explain the unlikely evolution of this project are the author, Dan Baum, and the composer of the musical, Paul Sanchez. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having us.
Dan, let me start with you. Everything about this seems to have happened almost by accident. Your initial brief was to report for The New Yorker on Katrina.
Right, and I didn't know New Orleans at all. First time I really saw the city was when it was full of water. But when you're covering something like that, especially if you're covering something like that for The New Yorker, you're thinking already, I'm going to be writing a book. Didn't want to write a book about Katrina. Everybody was sick of reading about Katrina. So I found these incredible subcultures in New Orleans, and I wanted to get them all in. And so I found these nine people, and they're true stories. Well, true. New Orleans true. As I always told the fact checkers at The New Yorker, it is not a fact-rich environment there. So these are stories the way they tell them, but they are true stories.
It's an oral history.
It is an oral history from 65 to a couple of years after Katrina.
And they're very different lives, very different stories, rich, poor, in between, male, female, in between, a transgendered barkeeper, black, white, in between, mixed
right.
race. Was that deliberate?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And Mardi Gras, in wanted the Mardi Gras Indians in the second line. We wanted the Mardi Gras crews uptown, wanted the lower Ninth Ward, wanted a high school band director. High school band has a meaning in New Orleans beyond what it has everywhere else. So this is how we put it together.
And the city itself, is that the glue that holds these disparate things?
That's the protagonist. That's the real protagonist, is this amazing city. And what was so cool about it when I was working on it was I take all my notes on a laptop, and as I'm typing, as these people are talking, I can type as fast as they can talk. I felt like I was playing the piano because the way people talk in New Orleans has this clippity-clop, this rhythm, this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so when these guys called and said, we want to make a musical out of these people's story, I just thought, oh, my God, that's perfect.
Now, Paul Sanchez, what did you – you're from New Orleans.
Yeah, born and raised.
Founding member of the New Orleans rock band Cowboy Mouth. What did you – here in Dan's book that...
It was actually my writing partner, Coleman Decay. He's a screenwriter in Los Angeles. He's born and raised here in New York City on the Upper East Side. And he had read the book and he wanted me to read it. And at first I didn't want to because I also didn't want another Katrina experience. But I found out that it was between Betsy and Katrina. My father died right before Betsy and my mother died right before Katrina. And what I saw in those pages was the conscious experience of my life on the planet. And we began chronologically at the beginning, and the songs seemed to sing out to me. You know, they seemed to already be there. As he said, the people speak in a rhythm. And as he captured very well the different rhythms of the neighborhoods. People in the Ninth Ward don't talk like people in the Treme or people uptown. And Dan managed to capture really effectively their languages, their rhythms. And it seemed to me that the melody and choruses were jumping off the pages into my head and hands.
So the music was in the book already.
Seemed to Coleman and I that it was, yes.
And so it was left for you guys to kind of extract it, so to speak. And
yeah.
Did you feel like you were kind of following the book, or did it just kind of give you the starting point to do what you ended up doing?
We very consciously followed the book. For me, as a guy that was going to have to try and come up with melody, it was important to me that it follow historically music so that I could develop musically with it. The music becomes more complex as the characters become more complex, and it begins very innocently in 1965 in the Lower Nine with a Fats Domino-ish sounding feel. And so, yeah, all that was a conscious decision to follow the book chronologically. We wrestled with, as Coleman's putting the book together, do we keep it chronologically because the characters' lives don't intersect? And then we went to see Dan do a reading in New Orleans, And he talked at great length about how that was something he wrestled with for months and months, and how he solved it, how he came up with this rhythm and this pattern. And we looked at each other and went, well, he solved it for us. Let's just follow the blueprint.
So this song cycle follows the blueprint of the book. The book is Nine Lives by Dan Baum, and the songs, with lyrics by Coleman Decay, feature music by Paul Sanchez.
Again, the cell block is the easiest place in the city to get smack. They all say that.
They all say that.
See her in the golden.
That's called Run Against You and Win. It is one of the nine intertangled stories that are woven through the book Nine Lives by Dan Baum, the reporter and author of the bestseller, and now turned into a song cycle by Paul Sanchez, the composer, with lyricist Coleman Decay. And the two of them are with me on Soundcheck today talking about Nine Lives. And Dan, you said somewhere, and I don't have the exact wording, but something to the effect that don't think of New Orleans as the worst organized city in the U.S. Think of it as the best organized city in the Caribbean.
Right. That's what people would tell me all the time. I'd say, doesn't anybody here ever show up on time? I didn't know the city at all, and I think that helped. I mean, Tom Wolfe says, contrary to what ninth grade composition teachers say, that you should write about what you know. He says, and he's right, you should write about what you don't know. And because I didn't know New Orleans at all, I didn't have any preconceived ideas, I didn't have all this mythology kind of ossified in my head, so I had to ask a lot of questions and type fast. I mean, I think what Paul noticed about the rhythm of the language in the book, it's all a testimony to my being able to type fast and get it all word for word.
And in terms of the community, Paul, it seems like the community was eager when you and Coleman set out to make something explicitly musical out of the implied music of Dan's book. The community was there, and they were lining up to help out.
It was it still is a lovely journey. People sensed that we were sincere in our attempts to incorporate as many different areas of New Orleans music, theater, brass band, jazz, brought them all in. And as they came into the studio and caught the vibe, we got more phone calls. Can we be a part of this thing too? Till it was 109 people.
So Irma Thomas plays herself.
She does.
Harry Shearer, Michelle Schacht, Alan Toussaint.
Wendell Pierce.
The mayor. Mitch Landrieu.
Yes.
Also, I guess, plays himself.
He sings wonderfully, yes.
So all of these folks are part of Nine Lives, which is out on CD tomorrow. It's officially called Nine Lives, a Musical Adaptation. And there is a third sort of party to this whole thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and that is Michael Cerveris, the Tony Award-winning actor, a singer-songwriter himself, who is helping to produce the musical. And Michael, you're not from New Orleans. What drew you to this project?
Well, I'd gone down to New Orleans for work a long time ago. I grew up in West Virginia, so, you know, a Southern boy, but hadn't really connected with my Southern roots particularly. And I went down to New Orleans to work, and while I was there, through some mutual friends, I actually saw Paul play one night at the House of Blues up in the Parish Room, and just thought he was a fantastic singer-songwriter, and found out we had some mutual friends who invited me down, sort of passed on an invitation from Paul to come make my New Orleans singing debut at one of his sets, a thing that I never do normally because I'm too shy to show up and I never know the words to anything. So, but Paul just sort of made it feel like home. And you know, sometimes I just have become so connected to the city and so invested in it since I guess it was about 5 years ago that I was down there. Paul at one point just said, well, I'm writing these songs and, you know, here you're a theater guy, you know, have a listen and see if you think that this could actually turn into something. And from the moment I heard the first demo, just Paul singing with acoustic guitar, I could hear the theatricality in it. And you know, theater music or music for the theater has different requirements than strict pop music, and all of those things were just kind of innately in the stuff that Paul had written.
Had you read Dan's book by
the way? I had, yeah, that was the other thing. A friend of mine had given me the book a long time ago, so as soon as he mentioned it, I knew what he was talking about, and I had loved the book.
Now, in the book, there is the story of John who becomes Joanne, right, the transgendered barkeep. On the recording, that's you.
That's right.
Is that likely to be you when this thing eventually hits the stage?
I think there's I have a history of performing in dresses, so you know, there's no reason to think that wouldn't happen again. Sometimes even professionally.
All right, Michael Cerveris is here. Paul Sanchez has picked up a guitar, and they are going to perform for us live in the studio with a song called Joanne. This appears on Nine Lives, a musical adaptation. Here they are live on Soundcheck.
People got nowhere to go. I'm not leaving them. If I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die here, not dodging National Guardsmen. Couldn't take being in my house alone, the wind screaming down the neutral ground. So I swallowed my fear and a beer, smoked a bone. I didn't get shot, I didn't get drowned in the rain. Some oil in the generator, sweep the water away. See those fools by the pool table, not shooting pool. Bad choice, wrong bar, wrong day. The idea of jumping in my pickup truck, driving out of the heat and the stink, grows in me like the power of love. Instead, I mop the floor and pour another drink. Joanne, they yell and they bang on the bar. Joanne, they call from the door. Joanne, we're glad you are who you are. Thank God you're not John anymore. Everything's gone, my city's at war. The flood brought us to our knees. There's a TV crew passed out on the floor, sleeping in Japanese. NOPD and the Blackwater crew, bastards didn't leave much behind. Took my 9mm and my 38 too. All I have left to lose now is my mind. Joanne, they yell and they bang on the bar. Joanne, they call from the door. Joanne, we're glad you are who you are. Thank God you're not John anymore. Joanne, they bang at the bar. They call from the bar. Never thought I'd get this far. Thank God I'm not John anymore. They yell and they bang on the bar. They cough from the door. I never thought I'd get this far. Thank God I'm not John anymore. Anymore. My people got nowhere to go.
That is called Joanne, and it comes from Nine Lives, a musical adaptation by Paul Sanchez and Coleman Dickey of the Dan Baum bestseller called Nine Lives, about New Orleans between the two hurricanes of 1965 and 2005, Betsy and Katrina. Michael Cerveris, the Tony Award-winning singer and actor and songwriter himself, singing here with Paul Sanchez, the composer playing the guitar. And Dan Baum, the author, also with me. What do you think of this
evolution? You got to imagine how this blows my mind. Yeah. This scene that they're singing about here is, I got to New Orleans 2 days after the levees broke, and this is that day. And I stumble into this bar, kind of a wild scene of all these people who are too poor and too frightened and too drunk to leave New Orleans. And Joanne, who I just think is this big, tough woman, is running this place like a master sergeant. She's running it like a mission. I mean, it is her mission to take care of these people who can't leave the city, won't leave the city, terrified, and she's taking care of them. And I couldn't believe it. And I thought, that's somebody I'm going to write about.
And as she says in the song, you know, NOPD, New Orleans Police Department, Blackwater, not doing the job. So she's doing it for whoever she can.
She's
right
doing
there
it. And I spent 2 or 3 days in that bar. And then to experience that and then write about it and then hear it come back in song is just incredible.
Well, Paul, there are lots of different types of song because there are lots of different types of people that come to us in this
yes.
book, Nine Lives. Who are we hearing in House of Dance and Feathers?
A wonderful character named Ronald Lewis, who grew up in the Ninth Ward and started along the way a second line in Mardi Gras Indian Museum that got flooded, but he brought that back.
And in his garage. I mean, this is not like a big four-story museum. This was
important
his garage.
To note, yes.
And he
yes.
says later in the song, it's also his brother's barbershop or something
son.
Like that?
It even acts as his son's barbershop.
Let's hear a little bit from the CD Nine Lives, a musical adaptation.
That's my personal museum for the things that I love. So won't you come with me to the House of the... You'll be knee-deep in culture. Get in line. Gather around. Here we go. Hello, world. Hey. Come and take a walk with me.
Walk.
Let me take you to a place that's a part of me.
Uh-huh.
Soon as you cross the foot of the bridge, you have entered into the place in which I live. The lower notch. Some say across the canal.
Right.
But down by me, we say CTC. When something happens, you know way before the police. Mm-hmm. Everybody know everybody, so everybody you peace. Come down Claiborne, make a right on Aleppo.
It's a little bit of the music that Paul Sanchez wrote for the CD adaptation of Nine Lives, the book by Dan Baum, the House of Dance and Feathers there. And the CD comes out tomorrow. Michael Cerveris, who's producing the musical, what's the timeline on the musical?
Well, you know, musicals have very flexible, fluid timelines. We're at the earliest stages, but we're part of the reason Paul's up here is we're talking to some people in New York who might be instrumental in helping us move it forward. The main thing that we're really adamant about is that its roots have to continue to be in New Orleans. So we're going to make sure that early developmental workshops and stuff take place down there, involve actors and artists down there, and hopefully get a real kind of highway going back and forth between New York and New Orleans in the theatrical community as well as music communities.
So it was a book first, song cycle second, it'll be a musical third. The CD out tomorrow, it's like a Jesus Christ Superstar thing where the record came out way before the musical did.
It's so funny you say that because that's how I actually came to musicals, because I bought that Jesus Christ Superstar album because the guy who sang Jesus was Ian Gillan, who
from
was the lead
Deep
singer
Purple.
Of Deep Purple,
yeah,
which was my
yeah.
favorite band at the time. So yeah, it's all coming back.
Well, and then, of course, Jesus Christ Superstar became a film later.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
You know, it hasn't escaped notice.
Okay. All right. So Dan Baum's book, who knows how many media this thing will spawn over the course of the next couple of years.
As my mother would say, from your mouth to God's ear.
The book is called Nine Lives. The CD is Nine Lives, a musical adaptation. It's out tomorrow. Watch for the musical at some point in the not-too-distant future. Dan Baum, the author, Paul Sanchez, the composer, Michael Cerveris, the singer and songwriter and observer,
yeah.
evil figure from Fox's The Fringe, or just Fringe.
Or maybe not evil.
We just don't know. But it's been great having the three of you with us on Soundcheck today. Thanks very much.
Thanks, John.
And that's going to do it for today's show. On our next program, this week American Idol goes live, and we'll hear about what lies in store for the new contestants and the new judges. Plus, the Brooklyn Rundfunk Orchestrata interprets the songs of The Sound of Music live in our studio. And if you missed our jam-packed Green Space show last week, you can still check out performances by the Jamaican mento band The Jolly Boys and a preview of new songs by Thomas Dolby and the string quartet Ethel. Just visit the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck to hear the show and watch exclusive video clips. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today, Paul Schneider. The program produced by Greta Cohn and Katie McPherson. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer, and we had help today from Katie Salmon. I'm John Schaefer.